Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Our Father, we thank you for bringing us together. And we thank you that we have yourself given to us, your Son, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And we've enjoyed thinking about you and about him. Now we have your word before us, and we pray for your blessing upon it. Lord, speak to us through it, because that is why you gave it to us, that we might learn from your word. Be with us then and help us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a joy to be with you and to speak to you, and I'd like to thank Jennifer for that lovely rendition, and I'd like to thank Jerry for these lovely hymns we have sung. And so that leaves myself and maybe my sermon. If you want to call it that, it's a missionary address. And I think if some of you knew that, maybe our audience would be a bit smaller. But I'm not asking you to leave, because I believe that what I have is of the Lord. You know, I've been reading and enjoying very much one of what is called Christian classics, written by A.W. Tozer. Yes, it's a wonderful little book. It's called The Knowledge of the Holy. Well, you would say, you're rather old to have read that for the first time, and I must admit that. But I'm sorry, I didn't read it before, because it was a great help to me. Yes. Well, I'm not going to spend my time telling you that. But it introduces the first of the statements I'd like to make to you. Mr. Tozer points out in his book that God has planted in each one of us a knowledge of eternity. That's a very serious thing. Because all of us here are moving toward eternity. We shall not return here again. The same applies to those in the various countries where we carry on missionary work. Yes, God has revealed himself in Christ. Christ is eternal as God is eternal. Therefore, Mr. Tozer suggests that it is our responsibility to make this knowledge known to others. Yes. Now, that's a very important thing. We all know that we have certain responsibilities. Yes. I was in one of the stores. I do some shopping for my dear wife, and usually don't do it very well. But I enjoy life as I see it, and you'll even see it down there in the Jewel or somewhere else. And I remember standing looking for something. I can't always find things. Most always I can't. Well, what attracted my attention was a dear mother, and she told her little girl, who was busy removing things from the shelf, not to do it. And the little girl didn't pay attention. And so the dear mother gave her a mild but thorough shaking. In other words, I said, these things belong on the shelf. Well, I don't know whether the little girl believed it or not, but at least she stopped removing them. Yes, well, that was a responsibility this mother had, and she took it and obeyed it. Well, what does that have to do with missionary work? Well, we are commanded by God to go out and preach the gospel. Well, you said, I've heard that before. Well, so you have. Here at Bethany, we have a very friendly group who are interested in encouraging us to show more interest in missions. Because some people are interested in certain countries, certain individuals, but this group is dedicated to helping Bethany become more missionary-minded. And as I am a missionary, I am glad to be here on the platform, not at their suggestion, but to help increase your interest. Well, the second thing that I'd like to bring to your attention is this. Supposing you told someone what you felt was an answer to the serious problem which the person had. We call that counseling. I think that too much of it is done today. But I'm not going to discuss that now, because the Word of God can answer a good many problems that we have without going to anyone else. Well, supposing you counsel this person and they don't accept what you have to say, what are you going to do? Well, you can't do what that mother did to that little girl. Shaking a person is not really a part of our culture. Well, all you can say is, well, I've told you, I know I'm right, and all I can do is to pray for you. Now, that's the second part of my message, which some of you will not like to hear. And that is that most people on the mission field do not want to hear the gospel. Now, when I was a student here at Wheaton some 60 years ago, the gospel or missionary activity was always often presented as a challenge. You must go out. Because people are holding up their hands waiting for you to hear the gospel. But that's not true. They're not. Well, you say, how do you know? Well, because I was a missionary and I had a rather deep involvement in the gospel. Let me give you a little illustration. First of all, when I went to the mission field, as I'm going to explain to you, I went out to teach missionaries' children, and that's what I did for 43 years. But I spent more time in the gospel. Well, in order to do that, I had to have some knowledge of the language, and of course I proceeded, as any sensible person would do, by memorizing the Word of God. And that gave me a message. Sometimes my message was only 2 or 3 minutes long, because that was the extent of time that it would take to say those verses which I had memorized. Well, I don't know how profitable it was. I knew a little bit more, and I remember having a meeting, still remember this, and there were quite a number of people gathered there, and they listened well to my simple sermon, which was God's Word. And then I finished, and I had learned to pray, so I prayed. And then I just waited a moment, and a hand went up, a lady. And so I was a bit encouraged. I thought she wanted to know something about what I had preached about. Well, I called to her, and then she said to me, "Buona Hess, do you want to buy some beans?" Well, that was a poor response, I thought, to my valiant efforts in the gospel. But she was interested in selling her beans, and that's all that bothered her. And here was a good person who could buy some beans from her. Well, I've long since realized that it was really a minor incident. What does the Word of God have to say about it? The first verse which I learned in the Lunda language was, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Yes, we know that verse. We learned it when we were young. But there are other verses which are equally helpful. Here's another one. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it knew not him. Beloved, now are we the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." To whom is this referring? Americans only? No. It's referring to all of those came to know our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, then there's another verse. "Our Lord Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Therefore, we have one source, and that source is the gospel. And that's the heart of missionary work. But there are two other verses I'd like to read to you. 2 Corinthians 4:3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now, I haven't said that word before, but there it is. There is a possibility that those who do not heed the gospel will be lost. Now one more verse. Mark 16:15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And that's a command. I wasn't commanded to speak. I was asked to speak. But we all know what a command is. Go ye. And who is this said to? Well, I presume there would be some who would argue with me. But I think we all take it that it comes from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ who has given to us a task to do. In other words, all in this room, we are supposed to go out as missionaries. I didn't say that. I know that there are some who have examined their lives and have decided that the Lord would have them here, and I accept that. And there are others who have gone forth and will go forth. Right in this assembly, we have three who either recently or will be going out. The Beals soon plan to go out and preach the gospel. We have the Coles going to that torn land, Angola. And we tearfully said goodbye to the Hawthorns. They're going away too to preach the gospel. They have gone. They're in Bolivia. Well, now, in order not to bore you, I'd just like to give you some interesting, I hope, facts. First of all, as I said to you, I was commended to the work of teaching missionaries' children. I was prepared as a teacher, could have earned my living here, but I didn't. I'm sorry, in a way I didn't, and it was helpful. But anyway, I went out there and for 43 years did this work. Well, what about that? Anything unusual? No. There are various phases of missionary work, and I chose, I believe, the Lord leading me, one of them. Because there's a need to teach missionaries' children. Children normally are a nuisance when they should be in school and are. Yes, more than one parent has been glad when their children went off to school. Well, because they don't have the opportunity or the time to teach them, or maybe the ability. Well, you know, when I was commended, I pointed out that I had been led through one or two missionaries, Mr. Gammon, who's long since been with the Lord, and others, to go forth to teach missionaries' children. And I remember an old brother, he sat through the talk. I knew I would be commended. And he said, well, I've heard a lot about this education of missionaries' children. And he said, I guess it's a good thing. My fellow elders feel that you're on the right course. But he said, brother, it's not in the Word of God. It's not in the Word of God. Well, that was not too good, was it? Well, what would you say? He said, you will always have the responsibility of preaching the gospel. And I never forgot that. And as soon as I got out there, I gave my time to learning the language, and as I explained to you, in a very simple way, tried to preach the gospel. Yes. And I'm glad I did. I had the joy, especially in my middle and latter years, of leading people to Christ. And I'm very, very thankful for that. Well, I'll never be great. You'll never see a statue of me in the rotunda in Washington. And I'm not very sorry about that because I don't have the qualifications. And that sort of thing for those who have those honors. Well, there are those who did. And I would like to bring to you three missionaries. One of them I knew. Excuse me. The other two, I didn't. You've all heard of David Livingstone. And if you go to London and Westminster Abbey, you will see his grave. He's buried there with the greatest of Britain's heroes. Yes. Did he earn it? Yes. I think the word philanthropy is there, and that's a word we love. People who do something to help others. We pay money for museums, like Field Museum and so on. That's very nice. That's philanthropy. And, of course, he's known as a great explorer. He was that. Because he opened up all of Central Africa. And I believe the word missionary is included. But did you know that David Livingstone was a missionary for some year in South Africa? And he did the usual tasks that missionaries have to do. Evangelize, help the people in one way or another. And supposing he had died before he began his exploratory work, would his bones rest in Westminster Abbey? No, they would not. No. Will my bones rest in Westminster Abbey? No, they won't. Well, why is that? Because, as I've already pointed out to you, this world is not favorable to the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If someone has great ability, as Livingstone did, they're glad to include that in it. But you know, the gospel is not to be included in anything. It stands by its own self. We needn't apologize for it, because as I've already said to you, the gospel gives us the answer to that sentence which I quoted to you. God has planted in our hearts the knowledge of eternity. Well, in my office there's a lovely picture, I think it is, of sunrise on the Zambezi. And I think that where I stood to take that picture was where Livingstone had his camp. In 1855, he discovered the Victoria Falls, one of the most beautiful spectacles on earth. And then, as you know, America enters into this picture a little bit, because he was found by Stanley, and who tried to persuade Livingstone to come home. He was already a great man, but he didn't. In 1873, Livingstone died, and some of his body was taken by his faithful followers to the coast, and he was buried there in that very hallowed place, Westminster Abbey. Well, there's another man. But first of all, let me conclude. What was David Livingstone's work? Was it exploration? Well, you say he did a lot of that. But if you really want to know what David Livingstone thought about it, and not L.R. Hess, all you have to do is to read his journal. And what do they say? There's barely a page when he doesn't mention the gospel. I may be a bit wrong, because there's some exploratory data as well. But there it was. That's why he went out to South Africa. And it was to preach the gospel. Well, then, why did he spend so much time in exploratory work? Because he knew that these people had never heard the gospel. And he opened the country to the gospel. Well, the next man is Arnon. When he died, I was a boy of 5. Well, what about Arnon? Well, he discovered the source of the Zambezi in the course of his travels, and he too wanted to open the country to the gospel. Yes, what award did he get? Well, he was awarded an honorary position by the British, but not as much as Livingstone. There's no statue of Arnon. Well, what did Arnon want to do anyway? It was to take the gospel. That was his first ambition. And he worked among the Barotse people, amongst whom others have now labored. And then he went up and worked among other people, other races, And there was a chief there called Mujidi, who very much respected Livingstone, even though he had little time for the gospel. Those are interesting about Livingstone's and Arnon's work was primarily to preach the gospel. Is that all? No, they introduced medical work, they introduced teaching. That is a part of missionary work. The early missionaries felt it was so, although their first work was the gospel. There's one man I did know, and he was Dr. Fisher. All of these are British folk. And he was an eminent surgeon. Yes, we all respect surgeons. Yes, we see them in their white gowns, and they don't offer us to help them, no. And I don't blame them, because they know, we believe, what they are doing. And most of us in a position like that wouldn't. Well, why'd he go to Africa? To preach the gospel. Did he spend time with the medical work? Oh, yes, he developed a big hospital and so on. Well, what is my connection with that? 3 years before he died, I knew him. And I think 2 years before he died, the following incident took place. I was going up to Killeney Hill. Don't you remember the reason why? And as I was climbing a hill, I saw an old figure before me. And I guessed who it was. And he was pushing his bicycle. So I caught up to him. I was still in my 20s. And I pushed the 2 bicycles up the hill. And who was that man? That was Dr. Walter Fisher. And he had less than 2 years to live. Surely he deserved a time of quiet, but oh no. Where had he been? He'd been out in the villages preaching the gospel. Yes, that's where he was. And I had the joy, and I'm so thankful for it, of pushing his bicycle up that long hill. As I said, 2 years later, he went to be with the Lord. Yes. Well, I have just one little thing to say, and that is that people don't want the gospel. Do you remember when Paul and Barnabas preached? Boy, the priests at that time, they were thrilled because they were sure that Zeus had come down. Yes. And there was Hermes too, and that was Paul, who was their spokesman. Yes. My, what a wonderful thing it was to have the god they worshipped at that time, Zeus. And here he was, down in the form of men. They thought that was likely to happen sometime or other. Well, as you know, Paul, when they saw they were going to make an offering for him, he rushed among them and said, "You mustn't do it. I'm a man. I'm the same as you are." And he preached the gospel. Well, then what did they do? Well, they stoned him. Yes. That's not a very nice way to treat a person, is it? No. We don't know whether they killed him or not. That's not clear from the scriptures. But that's the reception they gave him when they thought and saw that he was only a man. Yes. Now, 1 John tells us this. It says that the whole world lieth in the wicked one. So when you go out to Africa or South America or wherever it is, that's your reception. Oh, there are other reasons sometimes why they receive it, yes, but I haven't time to go into that now. But I'd like you to remember that this world does not want the gospel. So today you hear from some countries, people, residents of that country, urging missionaries to come. And for good reason. They want them to do medical work. Is there any better reason than that? Well, I don't know. But I have a profound respect for medical people. Because they draw people from all over to hear the gospel. Do they? No, to be healed. But they do hear the gospel, because I don't know any mission station of my acquaintance where the gospel is not preached. So, there it is. But I hope you'll remember that. Now, I think some people would not agree with everything that I've said, but I'm not worried. I occasionally argue with people. And my wife pulls my coattails, unless it gets to be too bad an argument. But I'm not worried about that. What I've said is perfectly true in my own experience. And I am so thankful for this wonderful gospel message. Well, to conclude, yes, you go out there. And whether it's in a few verses or a well-polished sermon, you make it clear to them that they must accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What if they don't? You've given them all you have. And all you can say is, "I'll pray for you." And I've been doing that for a lot of people for a long time. May the Lord add his blessing. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful gospel. And we thank you for those who have gone forth and are going forth to make known this wonderful story. There is no greater story than that God gave his Son that we might live for all eternity. Bless the missionary work, we pray, as we know it. Bless those who are or expect to go into missionary work. And we ask you too, for those who have gone forth from other missions, Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for their efforts to reduce the Holy Scriptures to writing. We thank you for the medical work which has done so much to relieve pain and suffering. And we thank you for the devotion to the gospel. We pray for your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.